We're back now on this Agriculture Today. Those of you involved with or familiar with the grain industry in Kansas have witnessed the proliferation, if we might put it that way, of these larger grain handling facilities around the state of Kansas. These are known as shuttle loading facilities that allow an operation to move grain quickly onto rail service for transport to other locations and destinations. What kind of influence has that development had on the grain markets themselves and the prices paid to producers? That was a question being answered by an analysis conducted by our guest and her associate at Montana State University. Joining us now is Michael Taylor, agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension. Set the table a little further here, Michael, by talking about these shuttle loading outlets. And they really have become valuable to several grain handlers in the state of Kansas, have they not?
Yes, they are the most efficient technology that they can use to handle grain. Basically, the shuttle loaders are capable of doing exactly what that implies, which is being able to load a shuttle unit train in about 15 hours or less. So that's you're looking at, you know, over 100 cars in a very short period of time. So quick turnaround, lots of cars, highly efficient. It allows the railroads to drop off, you know, that unit train, get it loaded, and get it back out quickly, and that will give them the incentive to essentially charge you less for transportation because you're so much more efficient at filling those cars and getting them turned around.
And these have sprung up in this state over the last 15, 20 years. There were one or two for a while, and now we see them virtually in every area in Kansas.
Yeah, I think the first one went out near Colby about 30 years ago, and then we've built them ever since. More recently, we've seen them go in places like Montana in the last 10 to 15 years where they've started to build new ones out there. They're being built by multinational companies, so foreign companies, Japanese, who are looking to secure grain to be shipped out of the PNW for their uses. And Montana hadn't had any shuttle loaders up until about 10 years ago. So that was a reasonably new phenomenon for them, whereas we've had it in place for a while.
There are differences, though, in how the systems are set up in each state, are there not?
There are. I mean, Montana and Kansas are comparable in that they're both wheat-producing states, and that's kind of the baseline that you work from, and then you want to notice the differences between the two of them. Montana ships most of their grain out through Portland. We ship most of our grain out through Houston. We differ in that we have a large concentration of elevators, just many more elevators, two major railroads, and several short lines that serve us here in Kansas. Montana has much fewer elevators and only one railroad that serves them. And another pretty big difference is that Montana historically has had a lot more on-farm storage, and their elevator storage, therefore, has been a lot smaller. Well, we're just the opposite. We've had much less on-farm storage, and therefore our elevators tend to have much higher storage capacity.
But as you said, Michael, the idea behind establishing these is to gain efficiencies, and that would include economic efficiencies in moving grain. So you and your colleague at Montana State University, Anton Beckerman, took it upon yourselves to try to quantify those returns and including what they may mean for producers themselves, right?
Right. So knowing or understanding that if you're able to load a shuttle unit train in a very short period of time, that the railroads are going to give you cheaper transportation rates, the next question you would ask is, okay, well, how much of that transportation savings is going to get passed on to the farmer in the form of a stronger basis bid for their wheat? That was the fundamental question that we wanted to answer because it was interesting to us. You've got co-ops in Kansas looking at investing in shuttle loaders. And as they do that, it's kind of interesting to say, well, okay, are the farmers going to benefit as owners of the co-op, or are they going to benefit as customers of the elevator? And so that was the question that we were trying to answer. What we found was that, yes, in fact, the transportation savings, a chunk of it does get passed on in the form of an 8-cent stronger basis bid. So if you're delivering to a shuttle loader as compared to a conventional elevator, you're going to get as much as 8 cents on average, 8 cents per bushel more for your wheat than you would if you were delivering to conventional elevator.
That's here in Kansas.
That's correct. Here in Kansas.
There is a difference in Montana, though, you say, in terms of that return.
There is. So in Montana, you're only going to get about 4 cents per bushel stronger basis bid. So only about 4 cents gets passed on to the producer. And we're thinking that the primary difference between that is just what we call spatial competition. In a 60-mile radius in Montana, you're going to have about 3 elevators that you might be able to deliver to. And in Kansas, you're going to have about 27. So, you know, we have lots of competition amongst our elevators here in Kansas. Montana is much more spread out, and those elevators actually have a little bit of monopoly power that they can impose by not passing on as much of a savings.
How did you and Anton get at those figures, though? Did you poll these shuttle loading facilities to see what bids were being offered and then compared to the norm of non-shuttle loading facilities?
Kind of. We didn't contact the elevators directly. What we did was gather all these basis bids off of DTN, which is a source of cash bids. And so we've been collecting those over time. And then we also got a hold of some data on railroad transportation costs from the Surface Transportation Board, which monitors all of the railroads in the country. And so we were able to put those two pieces of information together and then find those results.
Now, some folks might hear this 8 cents per bushel difference in the case of Kansas shuttle loading facilities as a premium, if you put it that way, and think that doesn't seem like a great lot, but over hundreds of thousands of bushels, that adds up.
Yeah, that's the whole idea in the grain handling industry, is they worry about pennies on the bushel because they handle so much grain that those pennies add up, and that's how they make their money. And for farmers, you know, you have to look at your transportation costs and look at your options. But 8 cents per bushel could be significant on, you know, if that's better than what you're going to get at another elevator and it doesn't cost you more to haul it there.
Right. When you look at this and consider what the results were, then, Michael, what do you think it says, this analysis, about the incentive for future development of shuttle loading facilities?
I think we'll see, to the extent that we see future investment in grain handling facilities in the state, I think that you will see at least a few more shuttle loaders going in and replacing the older conventional elevators, either shutting down the old elevators or using them mostly as storage and then running most of your grain handling through the new shuttle loaders. And that's just mostly because of the high efficiency. And if you can be more competitive and attract more grain to your facility because you can pass on those transportation savings, then you've got an ability to say, hey, we can be competitive and we can be efficient, and that makes business sense for co-ops and investor-owned firms.
And it's also worth noting that this does dovetail with what we see as a changing structure of cooperatives and more mergers. As cooperatives, frankly, become larger, they may be more prone to investing in such a significant facility.
Yes. I mean, I think there's a fair amount of uncertainty about how everything's going to shake out with all the different co-op mergers. But them having the size to make some investments in these kinds of facilities, I think with mergers, that'll be more likely.
Where does this leave the more conventional elevator facilities that don't handle grain to the magnitude of the shuttle loading facility would? You contend they will still have a place in the system.
I think so. In Kansas, again, unless we have this tremendous investment in on-farm storage, which is expensive at the individual farm level, conventional elevators still are going to serve as storage facilities for those shuttle loaders. In fact, some of the newer shuttle loaders don't invest that heavily in storage. They instead invest in the loading technology, and then they use nearby conventionals to hold their grain so that they can call it when they need it. They refer to it as a hub and spoke system, so that the shuttle loader becomes the hub, and then you have all those conventionals around you that can essentially store your grain. You call it when you need it, and you don't impose the cost of storage or investing in all of that additional storage.
We see those hubs prevalent here in Kansas. If
you do, you'll see shuttle loaders. They don't necessarily park right next to each other. They give themselves a little bit of space. And then the conventionals around them tend to benefit from that different role.
Well, it's been an interesting evolution of grain handling facilities here in Kansas with the advent of the larger shuttle loading setups in the state.
I thought it was a pretty interesting research study. I would encourage people to go look at the summary online on Ag Manager, because there's some kind of cool maps that show where those elevators are located and how they disperse themselves, and kind of give you a more visual aspect to this study.
Indeed, that's a great article to study up on what Michael and Anton have found through their work. It's entitled Influence of Shuttle Loaders on Grain Markets in Kansas and Montana. Michael, thank you for covering this with us.
You're very welcome.
Agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension, Michael Taylor. She teamed up with her counterpart at Montana State University, Anton Beckerman, to put this work together, studying the economic influence of shuttle loaders on grain markets and the returns to producers here in Kansas. Check it out at agmanager.info. And you're listening to Agriculture Today.